and Rob Palmer, the podcast.
Yes, good morning. Look, a lot of people have been saying, hey, you mentioned on the podcast what time we are doing the super simple secret sound. So yeah, for Wednesday.
We do it every day.
Yeah, but at 10 past 7. So this is just
that's
a clue.
Tomorrow, 10 so past 7.
So you have your phones ready, 12353, get through and get the super simple secret sound. You can win that $15,000
kitchen. What's the date today?
It is the 10th of May.
Okay, that's important because what if you listen to a podcast from yesterday and you heard
coming
the time.
Up on our podcast, we have got Dr. Harry. He is one of the institutions of Better Homes and Gardens.
Yeah. Real intelligence factor.
Because if you've got a yapping dog like Deb from your mine has,
he can solve it.
He can solve it. That's coming up on the podcast.
Or if your neighbor does, you might give him some like timely advice on how they can cope with their dog.
Have you boycotted a business? We're looking at that. And we spoke also to skin expert Professor David Wilkinson from Skin Integrity Terrigal, just encouraging you, especially men who put things off.
The message is clear.
Yes.
Get your skin checked.
Paddy and Rob Palmer, the podcast.
Yesterday at 10 past 8, we took this call from Deb.
Morning, Deb.
Morning, guys. How are you going?
Not too bad. I know you want a hand. You want us to help you out.
I need some advice. I need someone to help me. Yes, that's correct.
Whoa, what about?
Okay, we rescued a dog in December. He was mistreated and everything. He was 8 months old, and he's a lovely dog. And he's howling when we put him outside or when I go to work. And the neighbours reckon he's howling at 4:30 in the morning. Well, that is completely wrong because he doesn't go outside till 6:30. I've tried to contact dog trainers and tried to ignore it, took him to the vet. I just don't know what to do. I need help, please.
All right, okay.
That's a job for Dr. Harry. We should get Dr. Harry on the phone.
I should get bloody Dr. Harry on the phone.
We should do that, yeah.
So a rescue dog won't stop howling.
He's like, it's only 20 seconds and 10 seconds here and there in the course of the day, and I've written down a diary for 2 weeks.
Okay. Now, it's not like this barking dog man on A Current Affair.
No,
it's not like
that. That scared the hell out of you.
Yeah. But to find out, can we help Deb out from Channel 7?
Oh, we thought we'd find him.
Yeah.
And we have found him, and he's on the phone to help us out. Dr. Harry, g'day.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Yeah, not too bad, Dr. Harry. Can you help out Deb with her dog problem?
Yeah. I guess my concern is that the dog was possibly surrendered because he was a barker or a howler in the first place, and that's the reason he might have been surrendered or rescued or one thing or another. And some dogs, unfortunately, in some breeds are howling breeds, particularly dogs, say, like a Siberian Husky with any sort of blood like that. They are really good howlers, and they practice all the time. But anyhow, here's a few helpful suggestions. Right, having the dog inside the house, that stops it. So rather than putting the dog out, I would tend to keep the dog in. And there's no problem for the dog barking over the course of the day, so long as it's not too bad. But I had a situation quite a few years ago which worked very well. This was a group of huskies that used to howl at fire engines. So you know the siren on the fire engine? Okay, so these dogs love that because it sounds like one dog having a howl. And so we organised the fire brigade to come past this house, and kindly enough, they did it on about four occasions. And, of course, the dogs howled right on cue, and so did 30 or 40 other dogs within a radius of about 5 kilometres. The whole stuff erupted in a howling frenzy. So how did we fix it? Well, you know, you can buy these baby monitors where you can listen to the baby in the room and you can actually watch them sometimes and you can actually talk to them. So this is what we set up in this house, and it does work very well. So a little outside speaker, microphone by the side of your bed. The dog starts to howl. You actually talk to the dog, because if you go out and you rescue the dog, you bring the dog back inside, do that sort of thing, you are rewarding the dog for howling. So when you talk to the dog through one of these little apparatuses, like with a megaphone outside, and not too loud, obviously it's 2:30, 3 o'clock in the morning, and you say no in a fairly growly sort of voice, the dog thinks God is talking to him. And because the voice is coming from nowhere. And you're not there. So very well. A lot of the barking devices don't work on howling dogs, and most dogs get over it in time anyhow and just howl regardless, and they'll put up with the smell of the citronella. So I don't like the shock devices. They do a lot of harm to a lot of dogs, so don't like them at all.
So put the fear of God into the dog.
Hey?
Put the fear of God into the dog.
You're not putting the fear of God into him. It's just that you're saying no. And dogs recognise no in a growly voice, and they'll stop.
That's awesome. So it's basically you don't want to reward the dog for bagging. Well, I remember when we used to do lots of filming with Better Homes, Dr. Harry, you'd be out of shoot and, you know, yeah, we have our sound guys and they'd get upset when there was a barking dog next door and they'd just throw treats over the fence to shut them up. They'd run out of treats by the end of the day and shut them up for a day, but it'd probably give them a habit for life.
Robert, yes, that keeps rewarding the situation, right? And if you do something like that, even going out and yelling at the dog in person so the dog sees you, that rewards it. It's like a child having a tantrum, you know? Any of your kids had tantrums? You know, do you get reward them?
I work with a bloke that has tantrums all the time.
That's a lie, Harry. That's a lie.
You're on radio, mate. You have tantrums all the time.
Dr. Harry, what about if you've got dogs that when someone comes to the door, knock, like a delivering a parcel or whatever, and they just bark and bark and bark. How do you fix that issue?
Oh, well, I'm not going to answer that today because that's the very story I'm going to have to do.
Oh, is that, and so we'll have to watch. We have to. So we'll when will that be on? When will that be on Better Homes and Gardens?
Allah, and you'll see how it works. Yeah, you know, it's a fairly. Again, the whole thing about it is not rewarding bad behaviour, and even if you like administer some sort of punishment is probably not the right word, but if you try and pull the behaviour up and you are physically there or you put physical contact on the dog, that acts as a form of reward. So you've got to stop doing that.
There you go. So if your husband's going out on the drink and he's getting home at 2 a.m, don't yell at him when he gets home because that's just a rewarding bad behaviour.
That works.
All right, okay. I'm going to tell my missus that. Honey, when
I had it on good authority.
Dr. Harry said don't reward bad behavior.
Yep.
All right.
Oh, Harry, mate, thank you very much for your time this morning. Oh, one last question. Harry. What, this is it. Because Paddy, my friend here, he lets his dog lick his face. Just a yes or no. Is it okay to have your dog lick your face?
I can't answer that yes or no. First of all, it's a normal behaviour for dogs to lick one another. They lick one another around the lips. They actually get inside the lips and lick the gums. That's a normal greeting.
Yep.
And then lick the ear. So I think what dogs do when they meet you, they do the same thing. They lick your lips and then they lick your ear. That's what dogs do. It's normal behaviour.
Yeah. What about your butt?
Wait a minute. The problem is the dogs are able to lick areas that you and I aren't able to lick. Savory areas usually associated with the rear end of the dog. If they have licked that first and they licked you across the face, I wouldn't want to be the recipient of that sort of lick.
There you go. I'll take that, Dr. Harry. Thank you very much.
Thank
good
you,
sir.
Dr. Harry.
Not too technical for you?
No. Don't lick the butt and lick the face.
And we look forward to seeing that story about how you stop your barking dogs on Better Homes and Gardens on Channel 7. And that show has improved since they got rid of Rob Palmer. Thank you very much, Dr. Harry. See you, Harry.
Paddy and Rob Palmer, the podcast.
Coastline 107.7, Triple M Breakfast with Paddy and Rob Palmer. Still to come sometime between now and 9 o'clock, giving you those tickets to Top Gun. Maverick.
Oh.
Yeah, not now, though.
It's not on the sheet.
Yeah. Doesn't matter. Okay. We're just doing it.
Not yet. We'll just do it.
Okay. Yeah, the exclusive special preview screen.
Follow your lead.
Yeah.
Goose.
You're no Maverick, pal. VMAX at Cinema at Erina. You could be there.
I called you Goose, so you've got to have something.
Yeah. I can't because you put all these. No, well, I'm not allowed to because you've complained to our boss, Speedy, that I'm not allowed to say anything to you. So if I say anything, I get hauled into the office. Oh, don't call Rob an idiot. You're not allowed to call him an idiot. So I can't say anything to you.
There is a list, though, that's been put up of things that you're not allowed to say.
Anyway, we are Triple M. And I'm not allowed to call you a loser either. Super Cheap Auto.
What else can't you call me?
Oh. This is in the Gold Coast. They've come under fire for reportedly standing down an employee, and we've seen this go viral, who was filmed fighting over a pram with that woman that he claimed was shoplifting. And in that viral video taking out the Gold Coast store, a staff member could be seen trying to grab that pram covered with a blanket.
Yeah.
And he accused the woman in the pram of stealing from the store and threatened to call the police as the woman screamed, "Let my baby go." So she was pretending there was a baby in there.
Oh.
Yeah. And then next minute, this box falls out, so it wasn't a baby.
Oh.
Now, the Gold Coast Bulletin.
Who uses a pram? I'd never even
thought of that.
Low.
Oh. Anyway, Gold Coast Bully has revealed the employee had been stood down last week while the incident was being reviewed. And now a lot of people come on board. Hey, mate, he was just doing the right thing. Why are you doing that? And people have been saying, oh, I'm going to boycott the store. That was in Burleigh Heads. But you boycotted. I know. What have you boycotted?
I boycotted once because I went into a place that sold coffee. Yeah. And it was 1 p.m.
Yep.
on the knocker
yep.
as I pulled up. And I got out of the car. I saw the doors were open.
Yeah.
I went, oh, you beauty. I'm hanging for a coffee. So I stopped, got out of the car, walked over. It was 1 o'clock and about 30 seconds.
Yep.
And the guy just looked at me and went, and just didn't say a word, just shook his head and tapped his wrist where his watch would be, which he didn't have on. And I went, what? And then he pointed to the door. I looked up and it goes 7 till 1 on whatever day it was.
And it was 1:03.
It was 1. No, it was 1 and about 40 seconds by and this stage.
Never went back.
And I said, come on. He goes, and just shook his head.
You know what?
And I've never been back there since, and I never will go there again.
133353. What have you boycotted? You know what I boycotted? Better Homes and Gardens. Never watched ever since when I found out that Rob Palmer was gone. Never watched it
never
again.
Never watched it again.
Even though I love Joe Griggs, never watched it again.
I do. I actually, you know what? I tune in for Dr. Harry.
Oh, do you? Yeah, he's joining
us.
And
then actually. I turn it straight off.
After 8. 133353. What are you boycotted? Billy Mack. Good morning, mate.
Billy.
G'day, Robbie. How are you, mate?
Great, pal.
Hello, Billy.
Hello, Paddy. hey, Rob, that guy with the watch, that wasn't the proctologist's office where he was lost his watch, was it? No. No.
Okay. No, it was not. No. It was not. No. Slippery.
Yes. I actually boycotted your former entity, 2GO, when that bloke from the Isle of Imbus got rid of Paddy. Like the guy was still in nappies and comes in and thinks he knew what he was doing.
Oh.
He was the body beautiful in the shower. I wouldn't want to see him in the shower because it'd be cold, whether it was hot water or cold water. I boycotted you until you came back. And then when you came back, I'm here, baby, and you can't get rid of me.
I'd do anything to be rid of him for just a little while. You know what I mean?
Mate, I know. Mate, you know what? But Panadol wouldn't be happy because they make a fortune out of him being on.
They would.
They sell is unbelievable.
It's a massive sponsorship for him.
Oh, Billy, you are a rat bag.
And as this, hey, those scooters as well. I was in Canberra over the weekend, and no, it wasn't cold. It was freezing.
The electric scooters.
They are everywhere. And I was just talking to Matty. They're in Brisbane as well. And my son was up in Brisbane for Magic Round a couple of years ago. Apparently, a few schooners in ya, and they go so much better.
Oh, no, that's a bad idea. I've never seen so many. I don't know how parents get the money because they're not cheap.
No, but these ones are just on the side of the road. You rent them. You put your card in and you hop on and you ride it to the next place and they just leave them on the side of the road and the company that owns them picks them up.
Billy, I haven't seen many around the Central Coast.
Didn't they learn that lesson from the electric bikes? And they ended up pulling out of rivers and...
That's just the bikes. Yeah, they did.
Well, that's what I thought. If they had those scooters on the Sandy Coast, they'd all be at your minor. Oh, that's just...
Yeah, you can... and you can get...
It's all downhill.
If you are riding a pusher or a scooter or whatever and you get RBT'd, you can lose your licence if you're...
Absolutely. Yeah. You do lose your licence, absolutely.
I haven't seen many on the Central Coast unless someone can inform us. Are those electric scooters? Yes, same as
a
horse.
If you're riding a horse...
Yes, you can.
Yes.
Yep.
Yes. And some of those jockeys that I put my money on, they reckon they are riding drunk.
Thanks, Billy. Take care, mate. Couple of minutes to wait. Another shocker. What we're doing, Central Coast rate payers, we're going to be in for it. We're looking at that in the local briefing with David Dolan. And Dr. Harry joins us from Channel 7.
Yeah, he's here to help Deb with the problem.
Damn straight.
Paddy and Rob Palmer, the podcast.
We looked at disgraced tennis champ Boris Becker has moaned about his grim prison food and served corned beef. I like corned beef. Haven't had it for years. Never cooked it, though.
Yeah, but, I mean, they say corned beef and you have this image in your head and then what you see in front of you,
might be different.
When you rip the lid off the tray.
Yeah.
We heard that it comes in trays and
we looked
it can
at prison
be pretty
food.
Ordinary.
What was it like? We got Mark from Watanabe. G'day, Mark.
Hey, Mark.
G'day, boys. How you going?
Yeah, not too bad, mate. Mate, prison food, is it... what is it like?
Well, mate, not me personally. One of my sons was in prison in Cessnock about 4 years ago.
Yeah.
And he was a bit of a sort of spasmodic eater and didn't eat really well anyway, being a young man. But when he went in there, after about a month, he put on weight. he started looking healthier, and there was always food to eat. There was always plenty of fresh fruit around for the boys to eat. They got fed three good meals a day. Pretty well, they had to eat it to a point. They weren't sort of forced to, but, you know, if they didn't, they sort of got frowned upon a bit. So they were looked after all right. And, mate, he came out looking better than he did before he went in.
Yeah, so prison food. There you go.
I guess it depends where you are. We did hear earlier this morning stories about, you know, that it was pretty bland and average and you only got a bare minimum and that nutrition wasn't exactly a focus. But it sounds like your son had a much better experience.
Well, he was a guest of Her Majesty at Cessnock.
Yep.
And he was in minimum security. And what they used to also do on a weekend up there was you visiting, they had an outdoor area where you could buy barbecue meat, have a barbecue with your family, and enjoy a good meal. And they still fed him that lunchtime, even though they had a barbecue fee.
Yeah, right.
And, yeah, he just, for me, he actually put on weight. It was the first time he was able to hold a pair of jeans up without sliding off his bum because he actually had a bum.
Oh, right.
Had a bum.
How's he doing now? Is it going okay?
Yeah, he's going really good, mate. Yeah, no, it was just a one-off thing. Yep. He got done, did his time, he's come out, he's grown up, he's woken up. No, that's
good stuff.
Oh, that's good to hear.
Good stuff, Mike.
And looking at my co-host, there's no shortage of cake at Triple M either.
Well, I won't disagree with you there, Robert. Anyway.
I'm losing weight.
Thank you.
All right, Mikey, thanks for that. Now, we've got Chris with us. G'day, Chris.
G'day, Chris.
Yeah, g'day, how we doing?
Yeah, good, mate. Well, just looking at Boris Becker, he moaned about his grim food in prison, being served corned beef and as his first meal behind bars. Mate,
what's your experience within the prison system?
I'm actually in the industry.
Right. Mate, and what... Chris, we had calls earlier on today about the food. It's all made off-site.
It's made off-site, but it is still made by corrective services.
Oh, is it really?
Right. So what's your role in the system?
I'm a prison officer.
Right. Okay. And
So all the food is actually dietary and calorie approved by dietitians.
Right.
So, yeah, it's... okay, some of it doesn't look as very appetising like that, but... It's all approved. We've had, as we said, dietitians have a look at it, and it's the average calorie. But the inmates also get a chance to supplement their meals with what we call a buy-up.
And what's a buy-up?
It's their weekly grocery. If they have money in their prison account, they can buy noodles, tuna, Coke, lollies, chips. So, yeah.
And does that happen? That happens once a week?
Once a week.
Right, and it's delivered.
And then they buy the stock for what they want to have as an extra supply of like treats or whatever they want to have as an extra for that week. Does that go yep. for all grades of criminal, like your minimum through to maximum?
That is every inmate in the New South Wales system.
Right. And so you're saying the food is, as said, it's pretty nutritious, it's all balanced, all that sort of stuff.
Allegedly.
Well, you can't please all the people all the time. I'm sure what some people like, some people are going to hate.
Exactly. Look, I've done many shifts and had to do double shifts, so you can't take your own food in or you don't have enough food for the day. And I've eaten some of the inmate meals. And, you know, the Thai green curry is chicken curry is pretty good. I can vouch for that. But they also get devil wings, they get quarter chicken, they also get Anzac cookies, which go like no one's business because they are just the best.
Yeah, well, there you go.
Fair enough.
It's a pretty...
sounds more substantial than Paddy's regular diet is at home.
He's having to go at my wife's cooking. You apologise to curse you, nasty person, Rob.
I'll see what you cook.
Okay, Chrissy, thanks for the call, mate.
No dramas, buddy. You have a good one.
Okay, take care.
Paddy and Rob Palmer, the podcast.
This is the news that doesn't make the news. That should be in the news instead of the other news.
Yes, good morning, Robert.
Morning, Patrick.
What do you got for us?
Just realised that I haven't read this story.
Oh, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Just do what we normally do.
Basically.
Yeah, what's happened here? There was a wedding. The best man job.
Billy takes the groom's ring from the box, hands it over to the priest without incident. But when it comes to getting Susan's ring from off the white cushion, Billy accidentally drops it.
Oh,
and
it
falls.
Does
so
it?
They're there at the wedding, and he's got this, he's done everything right. Because when I got married, the one question I asked the best man about 1,500 times,
you got the ring.
Have you got the ring?
Yeah.
Have you got the ring? Have you got the ring? And every time he'd go, oh, yes, yes, I do. And they pat themselves down. Oh, yep, it's there.
Yeah.
It's all you've got to do.
Yeah.
Get the groom to the altar.
Church on time.
That's right.
And then
don't forget the ring. Now, this best man obviously thought he'd done the right thing.
I've just started patting my pockets. I don't have it.
Why would you? No one's getting married. Anyway.
No, I was just thinking.
So there they are. Billy takes the da-da-da-da, and they get the white cushion, and it drops through a grate in the floor.
What, in a church?
Yeah. So they couldn't get there's the ring. Ding, 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 ding. Through a grate in the floor, and then...
So what do? They get someone else's ring from the...
A videographer whipped off the floor, cover off the grate.
Got down there.
Got down there and searched. I once lost my wedding ring down a grate in the city of Sydney, and it was down at Woolloomooloo, and I was getting my shoe off my foot, right, with one hand, and my ring, I'd had it stretched because I'd busted my finger and I had to get it stretched to fit
over
the knuckle.
No,
I was getting changed at the boot of my car out of runners into going out shoes because I was going to meet some people there after work for a beer after work. But anyway, so I took my shoe off and off came the ring. It flicked off my finger and it's gone bounce. And when you see your ring bounce on a grate, it's like time freezes and you can see in slow motion it falls down. And it went in there and I've ripped the grate off because it was under the old grate so you could just lift up.
And they have a ladder in there, don't they?
It was 3/4 of it was full of liquid and it was down right underneath King's Cross down at Woolloomooloo Bay.
Oh, that's safe.
I thought, I'm not sticking my hand in there.
So didn't you do it?
I just looked into it and I went across the road to the servo. You know those little scoopers that you can use with the long broom that sweeps stuff up like a dustpan?
Oh, yeah, you got one of those.
I got one of those and I was sticking it, I was scooping it down into the water and the stuff that I was pulling out of this drain was just revolting.
You didn't put the ring back on, did you?
No, I couldn't find it. So I rang a pool guy.
Yeah.
I don't know how I got this number, but rang a guy who came with a pool scooper and he scooped out the bottom of this drain and the stuff we were pulling, there were syringes in there, there were Johnnies in there that come out, all sorts of stuff.
Yeah.
And there was the ring, he found it. I paid him for his time to come and help me.
Were you late for your drinks?
I wrapped the ring up and I got it cleaned properly before I put it back on, but I saved the ring.
Anyway, good boy.
There you go.
Well, my story is very simple. Three facts.
The man telling it.
Apples have how much percentage of air?
Oh, I don't know.
25%. Strawberries have an average of 200 seeds. And wait for it.
200 seeds?
Yep, on the outside.
Yeah.
Pumpkins, have a guess what percentage water? 90. I read that this morning.
Good chat.
Paddy and Rob Palmer.
The podcast.
The news came through yesterday about what the council were going to do about those medium strips, about ripping them out, stripping them, and just putting in concrete. Anyway, our producer, Maddie, reached out to the council, and they sent a response. It said, we couldn't talk to them. Is that right, Maddie? We couldn't get an interview? Is that right? Could we get an interview with them? No?
No interview was available.
Okay, so they sent this response. Okay, following a review of council's level of service, council has prioritised vegetation maintenance work in order of safety, which means roadside rabbits, playability, which means...
Playability?
Sports grounds.
Oh.
Usability?
I thought you meant median strips.
Yeah, that's what we're talking about.
Imagine if you had a median strip with no playability.
And amenity. Council is not removing all vegetation on Wyong Road medians. However, is carrying out pruning, removing weeds and barking. God, that sounds like when you go for your downstairs.
Yeah. And that's when the barking starts.
Wyong Road vegetation. And like, if your vegetation is overgrown, you've got to get it snipped, don't you? Seriously.
You can't have that.
No. There's got to be some clipping involved. Wyong Road vegetation is primarily a visual amenity and is prioritised accordingly. Council is looking at alternate options for the thin mediums, because you've got your overweight mediums.
What do you call a thin medium?
Well, anything that doesn't need
more
to be on
the
Biggest
step.
Loser. I don't know. Well, you have your thin ones, and then your big oversized ones.
But there's a point at where a thin one becomes a Fat one.
Right. I don't know. Maybe if it indulges too much. And in the current state, as a costly, too costly to maintain. Now, these options, including installing hard surfaces or bark gardens in place of planting, save a bit of cash. But look, we did speak about it yesterday. We took this call from...
Bark gardens just get weeds.
Oh, that's they just come through. Because you can put that... You know that black weed matting?
Doesn't work. Does that do anything?
And some people say put newspaper down. Nothing. Anyway, this is what else.
Patty and Rob Palmer, the podcast.
Because, Roberto, you have a procedure.
Haven't you jumped on that one and said, I'll back you up, Rob. I'm going to take some time off as well.
I was asked, and I thought I'm there to support you.
Sure. I don't make a big deal out of it, but I think it's a good opportunity to create a little bit of awareness around cancer because everyone should be getting checked, especially if you've been working in the sun or you get around and you just don't really... When you're out for half an hour, do you remember all the time to put sunscreen on?
No.
No.
What about when you're driving in your car on a sunny day?
A window.
Or your right arm is there driving and the sun's belting down on your arm. And you might be in the car for about 3 or 4 hours and you don't even think, I'll put sunscreen
on. When I get hot, I start sweating real quick. And normally I will look for shade before I look for sun. You know, some people, I don't understand it, how you can just sort of sunbake and lay there and lie in the sun. I would never do
that. Well, that used to be the go.
But I would never do that. But I'm still in the position where I've got a skin cancer on my nose. I've got to get it cut off on Thursday.
And it's a fairly...
And then Patty said, you know what? I should take the day off as well because that way, if we're not on air, it's a good reminder for everyone to get themselves checked. Whilst we're off air, you get yourself checked. I think it's a good message.
Bloody oath. And we're going to speak to skin expert...
Didn't you benefit?
Professor David Wilkinson from Skin Integrity Terrigal, which I've gone down there and had that... I'll show you the pictures. That whopping thing off the side of my face.
Jeez, I hope mine looks a little better than yours, too.
Oh, no, and the hair covers it up.
So mine's right on the bridge of the nose.
And remember that we had a caller yesterday who
said... Well, he said you should stay awake for it.
Yeah, he went under local where
bark, bark, bark. Also sounded like he was on his way to Wolf Creek.
I know.
The chimes in the car.
Yeah, there's no way. Would I go under local
to have someone take a big chunk out of my nose?
Absolutely not. I wouldn't either, buddy. Oh, you better get that. Hang on.
Hello, Triple M.
Yes, good morning. It's Dr. Basil Batto Bay. Hold on.
Right.
That's okay.
I'm on Cocoa Pops. Yeah. May not be the scarcely healthiest way to start your morning, but
not at all.
It tastes like a chocolate rum milkshake, only crunchy. Patty and Rob, hello.
Off to work this morning, then, Doc.
Oh, yes, Robert. Their first operation is at 9.
Good.
A few more rums and everything will be fine.
I always have another drink.
Imagine being first.
Better than last. Rob's got an operation, Doc, on Thursday.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, I did hear, Patrick, and I have called the hospital and said if you need any assistance, I am here to help because it's a bloody massive nose that has to be worked on.
Well, Doc, they do have to cut out a piece. It's 30 millimetres long, 10 millimetres wide to make sure they've cut all the cancer
30
out.
30 millimetres long.
Yeah, I know.
10 millimetres wide.
That's
just
big.
Looking down. Holy jeez. That's a nose in itself. After this surgery, you won't know your nose.
No, how do you know that?
Oh, I just know. Look, I know the surgeons may have to use skin from another part of the body to fill that gap. Tell them, do not do a skin graft from your buttocks area, even though it's big enough.
No.
Because your breath is bad enough, let me tell you. Avoid going there.
Yeah.
Anyway, all the best for Thursday.
Thank you, Doc.
I'll see you as I do my rounds on Friday morning. Anyway, must go.
Yep, I know.
Excuse me, bye.
Thank you.
Paddy and Rob Palmer, the podcast.
We won't be in on Thursday or Friday. On those days, we would love you to ring someone and book an appointment to get your skin checked. Hey, buddy.
That's right. Didn't you make some gold out of a sow's ear?
Oh, I'm supporting you. That's why I've got those days off, mate.
Yeah, so that when you don't hear us for breakfast, well, there'll be bits and pieces, but it's to remind you to maybe get yourself checked out because the skin cancer identified is, well, better than one that's unidentified, isn't it?
Because you had your little thing on your nose. I thought, because you've been saying 4 weeks to us, I better go and get that checked out.
And you did. Well, it was just there. It looked like a pimple. I thought, hang on, that's not what I thought it was. And then it was sort of a rough bit of blonde skin. I got it checked. They did a biopsy. It came back. It's one of those cancers that they said you have to get cut out, and it's happening straight away. But I'm just glad that I saw it when I did and got it checked because who knows how long you can let something like that go before it becomes sinister.
And blokes are awfully bad for doing this, going, oh, I'll just put that, I'll do that another time.
Yeah, get it later.
Now
oh,
is
I'm busy.
The time.
You know, I'm busy.
Now is the time.
Committing your life to what you think is the most important stuff when your health really should come first.
Now, skin expert Professor David Wilkinson, he's from Skin Integrity at Terrigal. That's where I got that thing cut off on the side of my head, that lump many...
Your brain.
No.
On the outside.
Yeah. A practicing skincare doctor and chief medical officer of National Skin Cancer Centres, Professor David joins us this morning. David, good morning, mate.
G'day, Dave.
Good morning. How are we?
Yeah, not too bad. We're just saying very vital, especially with blokes. We put things off. Just do it. Make that appointment to get your skin checked, hey?
Absolutely. I think everybody needs to get a skin check, you know, at least once in their life. Get a baseline examination done would be my advice. And then once your GP or skin cancer doctor has had a good look, they can, you know, decide how often you need follow-up skin checks.
Now, David, it seems like a long way between what I'm experiencing now with having a skin cancer cut off my nose and, you know, the eventual and tragic fatalities that can be caused by skin cancer. What has to happen between this first period of identifying something and, you know, how long does it take for something like that to become lethal?
Well, it depends on exactly what type of cancer you've got. But, you know, the way it plays out with us on a day-to-day basis in the clinic is we'll do a skin check, have a careful look at everything, look for any lesions that are at all suspicious, which really, you know, means anything that's new or changing or looks a little bit different from normal. As you said in your introduction, do a biopsy of anything that we don't like the look of. That allows us to find out exactly what we're dealing with, and then we can move into treatment. And, you know, sometimes that is surgery, as you described, and sometimes it's creams we can use these days. So, you know, it's nothing for anybody to be scared of. Much better to get a skin check. Let us have a careful look at everything that's going on and then, you know, catch it early and then treat it successfully. That's the name of the game.
Professor David, how is it so that people say, oh, I found a issue with cancer under my foot? Now, how does it get there? How do these problems get there?
Well, because not all skin cancers are caused by sun exposure. So genetics play a big part in this. Sun exposure is, you know, a very significant factor, particularly for basal cancers and squamous cancers. But melanoma can actually occur anywhere on the body. So my mother had melanoma in her eye. So that's just an example. Bob Marley had melanoma on the bottom of his foot. And so this is another reason why having a skin check from an experienced GP or skin cancer doctor is really important. We can have a careful look on the back. We can look between the toes, you know, have a proper look everywhere and look for anything that's a little bit unusual. So skin cancer can occur absolutely anywhere on the body.
And right. If you die from skin cancer, okay, and that's worst case, how do you die from skin cancer? It's just a lump on your skin that you get cut out.
Well, very unfortunately for melanoma and the squamous cancers, if they invade into the skin, they can then spread all around the body like any other cancer, and that's what kills people. And so, you know, again, two messages here. One is get a skin check early and regularly so that we can then treat them when they're early, and then treat them before they become what we call invasive or growing inside the body. And that's all about finding it early, having a skin check regularly. So if you're at high risk, right, so if you're a white bloke or a white woman, let's say over 40, get your skin checked. If there's any history of melanoma in the family, if you've had lots of sun exposure, get your skin checked and find somebody that you can trust and get your skin checked regularly.
Yeah, and that's what we're doing on Thursday and Friday because Rob has got the op on Thursday, so we're just trying to encourage people to do it. Do it today. Give your doctor, if your doctor specialises in that or does that, or
give yourself and your family every chance.
That's the way.
Yeah, Skin Integrity at Terrigal. Pop in and see them. Give them a call. Professor David, thank you so much for the advice this morning.
Thanks, Dave.
Thank you. Good luck.
Thank you, David.
Paddy and Rob Palmer, the podcast. Subscribe now and you'll never miss an episode.